We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. You know we love to talk to our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McAlvey, each and every week. If only we had something to talk about with Adam this week, Chuck.
Yeah,
I mean, I know we're going to rack our brains a little bit here, but...
Yeah, we've got a few things. Adam, hopefully you got some time today.
Yeah.
Hi, Adam.
Let's talk about the Home Run Derby for 20 minutes.
You know, the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, had the Brewers had even an average week last week, I'd be all in on that.
Yeah, it lost a little luster for me.
It did. Yeah, it did.
You know what, guys? I agree, and it's going to be really weird today. In the afternoon, they have all the All-Stars together. They have like an hour for the American League, then an hour for the National League, and it's like one gigantic press conference where the guys are all in a room. And I think it is going to be kind of weird for these guys. And you know, look, players have to work really hard to get to this game. Lorenzo Cain is a really, really good baseball player for a long time. He's been an All-Star once. Yelich is a first-time. The other guys are first-time guys, and I hope they can enjoy it a little bit because it is a special thing for them and their families. But I agree, man. I mean, that was as brutal a finish to a first half as I think you can possibly have. And just some really, really brutal losses have been there. The couple in Miami and extra innings. You know, if those go a different way, it changes the week a little bit. But still, to lose all five in Pittsburgh in 4 days is awful. And it looked like a team that just completely ran out of gas.
And we're going to get to that. But, you know, for a team that I've been hearing about for the last 5 or 6 days of being so tired, and we want all these guys in the All-Star game, and Jesus in the home run hitting contest, great. Yeah. That's fantastic. But, I mean, if these guys are so tired, is the All-Star game really good for these guys?
No, probably not. I mean, if you're going to be real about it, but again, this is a career honor. This is something that when their baseball reference page comes up for the rest of their lives, it's going to say All-Star. So, no one's going to turn it down. I think it's special to the players. It does deny them a couple of days of this break because it's pretty intense. I mean, they got in last night. I think one of the host players usually throws there's some kind of players gala or something like that. And, the Derby, you know, like I said, this day for them begins at like 2:00 and then they stay there throughout the Derby, which is a long night. And then the next day there's the parade and the game, and you know, it's a lot of stuff. It's just a lot of on your feet and around in media and out with fans and all that stuff. But then, you know, they do get Wednesday and Thursday to kind of recharge, and that sounds silly. It's 2 days, but for a baseball player, when you're in the midst of this 162, 2 days together feels like a lifetime. And that's why they stack, you know, they'll give a guy a day out of the lineup the day before an off day and give him 2 days. And they make a big deal out of it. But to a guy that's in this everyday mindset, it is a lot of time. So, look, I mean, there's no getting around it. They're a tired, you know, if they were a tired team, and now some of their key players are denied a bit of a break, it's not perfect. But, again, it's such an honor, I think, that the guys are not going to say no.
This excuse of being tired, it's like we're learning about this for the first time, or we're supposed to believe it. There's 30 teams in the league that are tired.
No, I'm not. Yeah, and look, I don't think anybody said it as like an excuse. I didn't read the quotes. Like, look, I wasn't in Pittsburgh because I've been here in D.C. But I didn't read any of it as like making them an excuse and woe is us or anything like that. It was, it's just a fact that they finished with 21 games in 20 days and they went 10 and 11 in those games. Again, it's how you get there. It matters. So the way they got there was brutal, but they went 10 and 11 in that stretch of 21 games in 20 days. And they find themselves at the break, 2.5 games behind the Cubs, 5 in the loss column. That's key. I think now we're going to start to really watch the standings. And, you know, that's those 5 losses in Pittsburgh were really bad. There's no getting around it, but it's just a fact that they played all these games in all that heat. And, you know, it helps at least explain why they look the way they did, because they look tired.
Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Yeah, it was a tough stretch. I know that. And I don't want to overreact too much to 1 week of baseball, but everybody was cut and pasting this the other day, so I'll read it. The NL Central standing since May 31st. Cubs 25-15, Reds 23-16, Pirates and Brewers 19-22. The Brewers have been, for the most part, outside of a really good May, about a 500 club. And so I think this is a good time for David Stearns and the whole organization to try to figure out just exactly how good this team is before they start making moves to get to whatever position they want to get to.
I agree with you 100%. They are, beyond their record, a hard team to figure out. And I was just, this morning already, scanning through some of the stats to see where they stand at the break. And they are an above-average pitching team, but kind of in the middle of that middle third. And a below-average offensive team. So if you're going to add, I think the reason that all these trade leaks that have happened are centered on the offense is it seems to me that David Stearns is more focused on improving the offense. And, you know, then it's that same question that we talked about the last couple of times. How big are you willing to go? And are you willing to acquire a rental player? Or does David Stearns stick with the preference that he's had for making most of his other deals? I think sort of Anthony Swarzak and Neil Walker aside, getting a guy that's controllable for multiple years. So there's help for the middle infield and a player that fits the bill of a guy you have for a couple of years. And then there's Manny Machado. So all, you know, the leaks on Manny Machado are pretty clearly, I think, coming from Baltimore, getting that market as hot as possible to get teams to compete, up their offers. They can squeeze out as much as they can for a player who's only available, you know, to his team for the next 3.5 months. And all of those indications are that the Brewers are still in that. So, they're making a play for Manny Machado, but, as that, you know, now we're past it looks like we're going to get past the All-Star game without a deal. You get closer and closer to the deadline. How much can the Orioles squeeze out of one team? And is David Stearns willing to really up the prospects that he's willing to give up for a guy for only 3 months? It would be out of character for him. But there is a great need, and this team needs to be better offensively, and that's the position where it's easiest to add and get an impact player.
All right. Well, I told Bart earlier, I've been telling him for a while, too. I said, you know, it's great that we are in these trade talks and all that, but, you know, the core of this team and more guys have got the main guys in this team have got to step up. And I'm not talking about Yelich and Kane and Net, but, you know, some of these other guys, you know, Braun's got to get healthy and contribute to the second part of the season. Pena's got to get right. The shortstop spot's got to get fixed up. So Shaw's got to hit better at third base than he has. I know he hit the home run yesterday, but I'd like to see that batting average climb a little bit more. So the core of this team could do better to help these guys out.
No doubt about it. And I would say Pena is one position and catcher is one area where that's a tough area to add. It doesn't look like the Marlins are going to part with JT Realmuto. He's the most impact player that is potentially, you know, available in a trade. It just, when we were there, it just sounded like they are not going to move him. So the Brewers probably are going to have to roll with the catchers they've got. And Manny Pena was, at times last year, he'd give them a big hit. And that has not happened this year. So I agree with you. Travis Shaw's been playing really banged up because they've had so many other injuries. They haven't DL'd him. But he's better now. I mean, and I think you see that in the results as of that series in Cincinnati. But he went through a stretch of a number of weeks where he was really banged up. And I think that plays into where he's at offensively right now. Shortstop, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get anything from the inside. Orlando Arcia just showed no signs of being able to do that. So that I think David Stearns adds a middle infielder here over the next couple of weeks. Again, I don't know if it's going to be Manny Machado because there's, Baltimore has done a good job of kind of boiling that market to where it's at right now and getting teams seemingly improving their offers. But I think that there's other players that could be had at not so crazy a price. Some middle infield type that give them a better combination to get a little more offense coming from those positions. So, but look, I agree with you about the stepping up. There's no doubt about it. When you lose 7 of 8 and you get swept in a 5-game series, there's plenty of blame to go around on the players that are on this team now, and they were talented enough to win the games that they won. So I think it is fair to say that those internal options also need to play better.
Adam McKelvey joining us here, Chuck and Winkler. A guy we've talked about a lot, Josh Hader, has pitched 3 times in the month of July.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to save him in games to be like their second closer, or if they're trying to limit his innings for late September. I don't agree with either of those strategies. I think you have a weapon. You need to use that weapon. And if the weapon gets exhausted, then find a new weapon later. I'm just surprised he's only pitched 3 times in July.
Well, it's been circumstances because they've made the decision that they're not going to pitch him behind.
So I guess I don't like that decision.
I disagree with your thing about if you burn him out, find someone else. There's no else in this case. I mean, this is a unique player in baseball right now.
But as you don't use him, you lose games.
Well, but if you pitch him when you're down 5-1, he's not going to bring you back from 5-1. But look, your criticism is valid. He's pitched 3 times in July, and there have been spots where he could have been pitched in a 2-1, the one in Miller Park, the 2-1 game where I asked counsel about it afterwards, and that's my pinned quote right now to try to answer this question because it's at least his response. It's current counsel on the record explaining his thinking on this. I do wonder when we come back from the break, one of the biggest questions facing this team right now is, having had the break to digest it, is Corey Knebel in for a little different role? I think the key to how Hader has been used in July is Corey Knebel, that they've used Knebel in kind of a traditional closer role, and that has kind of informed the way counsel's used the rest of his pen. I wonder if you get back to this idea of being totally flexible with all of your spots, and I wonder whether that frees counsel to make more creative use of some of his arms in close games, whether that's close up a run or close down a run. So I think that's one of the things that they'll look at over the break. But yeah, a 6-game pace for Josh Hader over a calendar month of July is not good. That's not making full use of a guy. And it leads to this concern that something's up with Josh Hader. And that's, we're told, not the case. He said he's totally, there was that little scare in Miami where counsel and the athletic trainer went out to the mound. He said, totally fine. He's totally fine. I think the strikeout rates come down a little bit because it was just bound to. He was on this rate that's never been seen before. So I don't think it's totally surprising that he's striking fewer guys out, although I know he got it was sort of vintage early season Josh Hader yesterday in Pittsburgh. So it's that is one of the questions that faces them coming back from the break is, are there better ways to utilize Josh Hader that they can pitch him in games where it makes sense, and use him a little bit more than they were able to use him during this stretch in July, but still keep him healthy, because the key to the whole thing is keep him healthy and effective, because if he burns out, there's no one, I mean, you don't have a replacement for that.
Well, you can just tell Council after Knable gave up that base, that the hit off the wall of the Freeze, and you knew Freeze was going to come up with something there. That guy always kills the Brewers, it seems like.
Yeah.
Council, that was he doesn't show his face much, that were frustration, but yesterday he did in that postgame press conference. You could tell that was a rough one for him.
Yeah, it was a painful. No team had swept a five-game series since 06. I think it was the Yankees. And the Brewers hadn't happened to the Brewers since 1990. I mean, it's rare, obviously, to have a five-game series. But to lose five games in 4 days to one team is really tough. And, you know, the Pirates are an okay team. But still, it's put them in a bad spot going to the break. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, remember last year they finished at Yankee Stadium and took 2 of 3, and they went into the break on this tremendous high note. And then the second half of the season, you know, pretty quickly, I think, what was it, about a week after the break, they were okay, and then the bottom fell out after that, including a terrible series here in Washington, D.C., if I'm remembering it right, where they gave up 8 homers in a game. So maybe they'll do it differently this year. You know, maybe they got their bad we say every team's got a 5-game losing streak in it. This is a 6-game losing streak now. But, you know, if you're, again, if you're in the Optimist Club, they got it out of the way before the break. You go home, you charge the batteries a little bit, and you come back, and maybe the second half of this one will be different than the second half of last season. That's what the players keep saying, that the experience of last year will help them. They're a different team. They were very confident that the old second half collapse is not going to happen this year. So they'll get an opportunity in a couple of days to come back, and it's a tough stretch coming out of this All-Star break of opponents. But they'll get a chance to kind of, you know, see if they could use that break to turn it around.
Follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram, Adam McKelvey. Enjoy these next couple of days, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. We'll have lots of stuff today from that availability, and I'll share what some of the, I'll share what some of these guys say and what they are thinking as they got on the plane yesterday after the that game, and see what they have to say about it.
Keep up the good work, friend.
All right, see you guys.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. It is interesting to look at where the Brewers are now, where they were a year ago, and what, if anything, they can learn from that. We'll talk about that coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins, 1250 AM, radio.com, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Best Brewers coverage. This is Chuck and Winkler. So who got business done on the field? This segment is brought to you by Granville Improvement District. Granville. Feel the energy and the power. GranvilleBusiness.org.
I mean, this hasn't taken away from the bulk of the season. We're in a tough little stretch right now. We're scuffling offensively a little bit, but you know, we're going to head into the break in a good place.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. That's Chuck. I am Bart. Who got business done? The Pirates. 5 times.
Yeah, won the Brewers.
In 5 games. That doubleheader. I was so jacked for that doubleheader. You know, it's two games of baseball.
2 games of baseball. You don't like going outside on a Saturday, so I understand.
It started at 11:30.
You had all day.
It was going to be done by 6. Yeah. You could, you know, sit back, watch a movie at night. You could have a real nice day.
No, it was a terrible day of watching TV. So I was at a graduation party and 2 bad games. And you never really thought that, even though they were close, you know, neither team could score some runs. You just never thought the Brewers were, you know, when they get down 2-0 or 1-0, it's almost insurmountable at this point, the way they score runs. They're not a good team when they get down early. Now, as Rock mentioned in the broadcast, when they hit a home run first or they take that early lead, they play from out in front, they're fine. Not yesterday, though.
414-799-1250. Again, you don't want to look at 1 week, because baseball, 162 games, 24 weeks?
Six games. Skid, though, going to the All-Star break.
Right. You don't want to look at 1 week, and 1 week does not a season make.
Do you realize, though, last year, okay, what, they're 13 over the 500 mark right now? A year ago, they were 50-41, 9 over, but they were the only team in the division with a winning record.
Well, here's what happened last year. Last year, on Sunday the 9th, and the All-Star break was a week earlier, they were up 5.5 games. After the All-Star break, they had a series. They were up 5.5 games on that Sunday. Two Sundays later, that lead was gone. It was tied in the NL Central between the Brewers and the Cubs. This year, on Sunday the 8th, they were up 1.5 games, and then not just a week later, they lost 4 games in that. They're down 2.5 games. The Cubs and the Brewers have the same amount of wins. The Brewers have lost 5 more times than the Cubs. So the Brewers have actually played 5 more games than the Cubs, and that's 5 in the loss column. So yeah, it's 2.5 back, but they've lost 5 more times. So it is going to be even more of an uphill battle, and many of those losses came to the Cubs. Again, you don't want to look at 1 week and say, this is the season right here. However, in watching this team this week, it has sort of made me question if this is a team that should sacrifice pieces of the future for Manny Machado or whoever may else be available. I'm somebody that wants to see this team win a World Series. I am okay if they trade prospects to get that done, because prospects are what they are. They're prospects. They're there to maybe someday help you in the big leagues or as trade chips. So I'm all for that kind of stuff. Some of you may be more on the sustained success model. If this is sustained success, a good first half, a skid, no playoffs, I don't want that. That's not what I want.
Oh, no.
So at some point...
Last year wasn't a success.
No, I think a lot of Brewers fans would look at last year as a success because they beat expectations, okay, and they had a winning record.
If you want to look at it like that, okay, but they had a 5.5 game lead at the division break. Now, here's the deal at the All-Star break. The Cubs, now we're talking about the Brewers having this tough skid and playing a lot of games. The Cubs got to play 22 of the next 21 days after the All-Star break.
Right, they have a tough stretch.
They got a tough stretch of games coming up. So, okay, some of their hitters are starting to turn things around. Rizzo and Bryant got the offense going a little bit this weekend in San Diego. They've been a great come-from-behind team. Now, there's a team who their starters haven't been great, but they've been good, you know, in the middle and late innings, and it seems like when they go to extra innings, the Cubs find a way to win a game sometimes.
And it's lost two extra games.
Yeah, well, he's in the middle of everywhere. They lost 2 extra innings in San Francisco, but for the most part, they've had 30 come-from-behind wins this year. But one thing about the Cubs now, compared to where they were a year ago, I think they were below the 500 mark, and right now, they're what, 17 games over?
It's almost the carbon copy of last year as far as the Brewers and Cubs, where they are in the division.
But the Cubs are
playing better.
Are playing better than they were a year ago.
So let's go back to the bet we made. I bet you that the Cubs are winning the division by 10 games.
Yeah.
This was a good week for Bart's wallet.
Well, it was. It's trending that way. Football season and basketball season was not a good time for your wallet, but we had the outing, me against you and Rhodes on Friday, and we had a bizarre day, I'd say.
We can get to that too.
We can, because we had a restart. I had a 6-stroke lead after 2 holes. And we could talk about the bizarre restart that we had.
And even if we don't, if we run out of time, there's a video posted on our website.
Good video.
You can check out the whole round. 414-799-1250. Let's go to Tim in Greenfield. What's up, Tim?
Nothing much. How are you guys?
Good.
What's going on?
So my opinion on the whole situation is I think we should go all in, whether that means Manny Machado or our starting pitcher. But I'm willing to give up some pieces to go all in.
Is that what you need, though, for this team to be a contender? I mean, they're
just a couple moves away?
I think we are. I mean, this is one, with the excitement that's been building and everything, I would totally do Manny Machado.
Yeah, but, okay, Manny Machado on this past weekend, would he made a difference on this Brewer team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He could have, what did he do this weekend for the Orioles? You know?
He had a home run yesterday before they pulled him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then his defense being a shortstop, that's what we need. I would totally do it.
Well, he's not a very good defender at shortstop. He's not. He's an average defender, I'd say.
Oh, he's not
average
any worse defender than Saladino.
Yeah, he's not. He's not Arcia.
It's an upgrade, and then I think the Brewers with Stern, I think he's making smart moves, and I think that could potentially be a smart move. I'm glad that we didn't go with Yu Darvish at the beginning of the year, you know. So I think Manny Machado. I think I would totally do it. Whatever he wants, whatever the Orioles want, I would do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think Machado would have made a difference this weekend because, you know, the whole team appears to be dragging, and you saw it in their, you could just tell it in their bodies. They did not look crisp out there. You could tell, I told you earlier, Aguilar at first base, you could tell that it was a grind for him. It's been a tough, because he's not used to playing every day. It's been a tough first half for him. Now he's hitting the home run hitting contest, and he's going to play in the All-Star game on Tuesday. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Do you watch this last week and have a change of opinion in terms of what this team should maybe do come trade deadline time?
I think
I'm getting there.
Well,
because a week ago I thought, yeah, we're one or two, we're a pitcher and Manny Machado away. I think that right now.
Well, we shouldn't be letting six or a 1 week of baseball, well, even a half a week of baseball, affect us.
I know.
I'm gonna go on this. Okay, they had a bad stretch. They were a tired team. Now they're gonna be all those same guys going to the All-Star game, so they're not gonna get any rest. If I'm gonna give it another week.
Yeah, I want to see what happens after the break.
Dodger series and Washington, two tough teams coming in here. Let's see, you know, a little home cooking, they'll sleep in their own beds, not going on the road. Let's give it a little test after the All-Star break. I'm not giving up on the season, but man, you play like you got your feet in mud, like you did in Pittsburgh. Forget about any of those moves.
Call the Orioles bluff this week. Looks like they're, you know, trying to drive up the price as they should be on Machado. Mm-hmm. Call their bluff, let the price come down, play out another week. See where you're at.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. This was a really bad week of Brewers baseball and a really bad series. So are they still just a couple of players away? Should David Stearns be looking at those moves? Or maybe next year, let's just add by more of the DFA bargain bin until then. What should he do? It's Chuck and Winkler, 414-799-1250. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Brewers lost six in a row, five of them to the Pirates. So now it's time for introspection, especially if you're David Stearns. And I think David Stearns takes a long-form approach. I don't think the boat rocks too much with him. He's not going to look at a six-game stretch and completely change his outlook on the team. He's not going to do that. As fans, we might. And I think that's okay. Because what you have to do is look, is this Brewers team, as they are, and I know guys have been hurt, and I know guys have been playing hurt, and they've been doing the shuttle from Colorado Springs to Milwaukee in their bullpen, but are they a good enough team that this is the team that is one or two pieces away, where you would give up guys in your farm system to go and make a sort of move?
Well, no. Not right now. I just want to get these – I've always said I want to get this team right, and certain guys in this team turn it around. I don't know why they. I mean, if it was because of them being tired, yes, it just was odd because you could play consistent baseball for most of the season. And yeah, you had the bad four game stretch in Chicago back in late April when you couldn't get out of your way. This kind of was the same way as that four game stretch at Wrigley, where you know you look lifeless and you look terrible, and you probably pissed one of the games away, just like you did in Pittsburgh, or just like you did at Wrigley. You know, you had a lead in one of those games. I think you blew, but. You know, it just you didn't show much life, and I think this team has done a nice job bouncing back from a couple of different skids and a right of the ship. And I wish they played tonight. That's why I wish they played tonight, because I'm kind of, you know, before I get in these trade talks, I want to see where my team is. I'm not feeling good about it right now.
I wish they played tonight. I think it's good for everyone's psyche that they have a couple days off.
Yes, in that way.
I still want them to play tonight.
You know, it's like when you go to the blackjack table, you're always chasing if you lose. You want to get back there and get that money back. It's like now you lost these six games. You want to go out there and get those wins back.
Oh, I know. We've all been there too well.
It's like chasing on the Sunday night football game. You can't wait for that game to start because you had a bad noon and 3 o'clock run. So, God, that 7 o'clock, 7:30 game can't get there fast enough because you got to get that money back you lost.
Last year you had a situation where you didn't go and make a big deal. And I thought that team should have. When they were 5.5 up, I thought they need to do everything they can to improve this team because of the position that they're in. And last year I would have liked either Jose Quintana or Sonny Gray. And I would have parted with Lewis Brinson to do that. I think last year they needed a pitcher. They didn't get one, so we'll never know what would have played out if they had one of those guys. Now for the Brewers, David Stearns, he thought, let's not make that trade. I'll get Neil Walker, Anthony Swarzak, and see what happens. What happened was they didn't make the playoffs. Now they were able to take Lewis Brinson and trade him for Christian Yelich. So if you're going to say, well, would you rather have Christian Yelich than Sonny Gray? I mean, yes. The answer is yes, I would. Would a package have been able to be put together to get Christian Yelich without Lewis Brinson? We don't know. How would Sonny Gray be doing in Milwaukee? We don't know. Would they have gone to the playoffs last year? We don't know. But last year at the time, I thought this team, in the position they are in, I think they're just a couple of pieces away. Let's get this done. I want a World Series. I want it now. If I'm David Stearns and I'm looking at the same sort of thing right here, if I'm not Bart Winkler and I'm David Stearns, I think I'm looking at this team as not a team that's a couple of pieces away, and I don't make a big move. I don't.
Based on a couple of days?
No, on the overall.
So what if they come back and they take two or three from the Dodgers? Sweep the Dodgers? Are you back in on that?
It's not.
Not on a team, but in on going all in.
It's not that I'm out. It's just. It's...
See, I don't know. I mean, going all in sounds like you're throwing all your chips in and. That's it. If it doesn't work out, then you're back to square one. That doesn't have to be the case. You could be all in by getting a pitcher. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, you're not forfeiting your entire future. You're still going to contend in years to come.
I think if I'm David Stearns and I look at the first half of this team, if I'm David Stearns, I don't believe that he believes they're a Manny Machado and a Jay Happ away from going to the World Series. I don't think he thinks that.
Well, you got so many injuries now. And that's another thing. I mean, Junior Guerra, him going on the disabled list now, what's up with that? I mean, he's been so consistent for you.
They're using this all-star break.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
So they're putting Thames on the DL and VR on the DL, all guys that you could have used.
But Guerra's got the forearm now, and you hope that's not going to turn around his season in the bad direction because he's been very valuable for those guys. So, you know, he was a stable part of their rotation. You hope, you know, he's able to have the second half like he did in the first half.
Look, I've said all year that I think the Cubs are going to win the division. And I think this team, as they are constructed, is good enough to get into the playoffs. But it's going to be as a wild card. And you're either going to lose that game or then go to the divisional round and lose. Maybe you get to the championship game and lose because you're tired or whatever excuse.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I looked at the wild card standings for the first time today.
Well, you have to now. they're 2.5 back.
Well, I'm not giving up on the division, but sadly, I looked at the
wild card. So where are they in those?
Well, they would be the number one seed in the wild card. You know, they got Arizona is a half a game back. Arizona's a half a game back. I mean, geez, they let kind of everybody back in on this, on the wild card.
This was a really bad week.
I mean, six games. They let everybody. I mean, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates gained six games on the Brewers in the wild card. Not to say that they're in, but they gained six games. They're 5.5 out now.
I think the biggest point of caution for guys like you and me who talk about the Brewers for 4 hours a day and who our feelings and thoughts on the Brewers are out there for eternity is to not overreact to a situation and say something that, you know, you can look and say, ha ha, you said this, you idiot. The Brewers, this last week, It's different than a week in August. It's different than a week in May. The trade deadline is a finite thing. It is coming up. David Stearns is going to make decisions that impact the future of this team. And so, I hate to tell you guys, but these weeks and games are weighted more heavily than the other ones in terms of those decisions.
Well, they're trying to win. When you're trying to win with Eric Kratz and Nate Orff and Adrian Hauser, okay, and Wilkerson, and, you know, you're shuttling all these guys back and forth between the minor leagues and the Brewers. These guys are going back and forth all the time. How do you expect to develop chemistry when you're trying to win with 50 different guys? I mean, basically, they're trying to win with 50 guys. I mean, some of these guys aren't major league pitchers or major league players, especially on a contending team. If Nate Orff is playing for Florida or Miami, great. You know, he can make all the mistakes possible. But Nate Orff has got to go out there. You're asking Nate Orff to go play second base and to go out there and hit, because the standards are right now you're in first place. You've got to produce. And when he doesn't produce, it sucks. And Kratz. You know, obviously, Pina's not having a very good year, but Kratz is asked to do a lot in this team. All right, he's a journeyman at best player. He's asked to come in here and produce. He's not been producing, and that hurts the team too. So they're counting on guys who shouldn't be a part of this pennant race, but they're counting on the Kratzes and Orffs and Wilkersons when they shouldn't have to be.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. This was a very bad weekend in Wisconsin sports. More on that. Even worse for Chuck, because he lost a golf match to Cody and myself. Yeah. We'll have the details on that coming up. The details are pretty simple over at Hyundai West Dallas and Hyundai Greenfield. Right now, you can get total savings up to $42.50 or 0% financing for up to 72 months on Hyundai's hottest models, including the 2018 Elantra. Hyundai Assurance with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles at Hyundai West Dallas and Hyundai Greenfield. Great location at Hyundai Greenfield. These guys care about customer service. Lou and Nick, they have more than 40 years in the car business combined. It's a whole new management team over there, and they are committed to giving you the award-winning customer service that you deserve. And to prove this to you, they're going to give you an extra $500 off any new or used vehicle. Hyundai Greenfield, 27th Street, near College Avenue. Go in there, buy a car. When you're buying the car, say, "I heard Bart talking about it on the Fan." $500 off. Oh, by the way, I have a trade-in, and I heard Bart talking about it on the Fan. $500 in trade-in bonus. They love the station over there. You guys, we assume, like the station. So let's pair you guys up. Let's play matchmaker here. Go to a place when you're buying a new or used car that cares about the customer, that makes that car buying experience number one, and it's going to reward you for listening to the Fan. It doesn't cost you a dime to listen to us. Yet, by listening to us, you can save up to $1,000 at Hyundai Greenfield. If you live in Racine, downtown Milwaukee, a better way to build a car is just 15 minutes away. Go see my friends at Hyundai Greenfield. When you go, make sure you tell them Bart sent you. Chuck and Winkler, I'm Bart Winkler, that is Chuck Freeman. If you do not know, I want to introduce you to our producer, Cody Grant, who was my teammate in a two-on-one scramble match at the River Club of Mequon, where our golf outing will be Tuesday, August 14th. Mm-hmm. Last year, Chuck and I had a contest. It was Chuck versus me. Only I got to do every shot twice, so essentially, it was a scramble against myself. This year, we included Cody in on the bet. So it was Chuck versus me and Cody, where we played a scramble against him. We took our best shot and played from there. Cody and I won. Well, sort of. I mean, overall, we did win. We played four holes. You were up three strokes?
I was up six strokes after two holes.
Yeah, it was ugly.
I was turning into a rout. And then I was up after, I was up three strokes after four holes.
Yeah.
You guys made a little bit of a comeback, and, you know, I had a bad hole there.
So after four holes, you know.
And I said, okay, guys.
You just said, let's start over.
I said, okay, guys, I'm up three strokes after four holes. How about we just start over and we go double or nothing?
So then the bet was 50.
So the bet was 50.
And then we just we played, I think it was a 13-hole round.
So then we had five holes left on the front nine, and you guys took a four-stroke lead after five holes. I'm golfing terribly at this point. I'm finding every sand trap. I'm hitting ball 290 down the fairway and finding a fairway sand trap. And I'm thinking the ball's down there, and there it is in the sand trap. So I'm hitting out of it, and just bad things are happening. So I'm down four strokes. And I'm still feeling good, though, at this point. But, you know, we came to the 17th hole. I was down one at the 17th hole, and I got a seven on a par three, which I'd never do.
You were in a bunker right off the green.
Because I got a penalty stroke out of there.
And you wanted to make sure that you hit it out of the bunker.
Well, my tee shot, I sculled. I mean, I hit a horrible tee shot from over 200 yards out. I hit it 100 yards. I was like, what the hell? So I'm 100 yards out then on this 200-yard hole, and I'm going to put it on the green, I'm thinking. Okay, I'll be okay. I'll put it on the green. I'll be good. I hit it on a side sand trap. I was like, and then my third shot, skull it over the green, out of bounds.
I wouldn't say skull as much as I'd say rocket. I looked
over. Okay.
Chuck's in the sand trap. Yeah. He wants to get out of the sand trap, so he takes a swing. It goes over out of the sand trap, over the hole, which is right in front of the sand trap, then over a little area between the next hole, over that tee box, into the trees on the other side of the tee box.
Into the garbage over there, yeah.
It was probably further than any shot I hit all day.
You know what? Then when I had to take the penalty shot there, my thing and my I was 60 yards away. So I'm 60 yards away.
It was brutal, and Cody and I ended up winning.
So then I chip on, two-putt, or pitch on, two-putt, and I get a seven.
And I don't think Cody will be shy to tell you that it was basically Cody versus you. I offered very little to our team.
At the start, you were playing better than me. You were hitting better shots. We were using more of your balls. But in the second half of that match, it was all me versus Freems. Like, I don't think I used one of your shots.
That's incorrect. The last
maybe
hole
two.
We used, 17, we used some of mine.
Yeah. I don't think it was all. See, I don't think it was all Rhodes. I think, you know, Bart, you nailed some putts. You nailed some shots.
Cody would have the worst shot you've ever seen.
He did. Yep.
And then he had this one that like curved perfectly from behind the trees onto the green. Did you guys Chuck for a sucker? Was this a?
Did you guys ever hit a sand trap?
No.
No, we were in the trap once.
Okay.
Weren't we?
But I was in,
I don't know,
12 to 13 times.
Chuck, the River Club of Mequon, it's where we're doing our golf outing again, Tuesday, August 14th. You can sign up at 105.7 at Chuck's game.
Yeah.
No matter where Chuck drove it, he would hit a sand trap.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It was unbelievable.
I it's a beautiful course, and that's what's going to keep me coming back to that place to play. But every time I could make I feel really good about it, and I go down there 280 down, and it's in a fairway sand trap, and I'm like, you got to be
kidding.
You
should start taking a 3-wood off the tee there.
Well,
look at the golf pro over
but,
here.
Okay, but here's the thing is, I'm not as familiar with the course where I know where to hit the ball. You know, when you don't play a course on a regular basis, you don't know where all the sand traps are.
Well, even if it's a brand new course, you just say, not the sand.
But I don't see that sand trap down there.
Yeah, there was that one hole where you hit it in the water. We had no idea there was a creek.
Yeah, that's
and we
true.
Drove
so you
up
don't
there, and it's like,
because you don't play.
You
it's not
in.
Like we play like Camelot. If I go to Camelot, I know where everything is there. But you know, we've played the River Club probably four times. So I play so many courses. I don't know where exactly everything is.
But you used to golf, Cody, so you have the skill in you. Right,
I do. Like back in the day, I was telling you when I played junior golf from 7 to 14 at those ages, I was always at the top of my class.
Do you know he played junior golf?
He told me that last year before we played in another
league. I had no idea.
So yeah. I have some shots in me. They just don't come around very often.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys won, you know, in the restart. So if we would have kept on doing 18, who would have won?
I think we would have won by a stroke or two.
Okay.
Because we kind of putzed around on the final hole because we were up a few strokes.
No. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So what did you end up winning by?
I don't know.
I think just one. Actually,
it might
at the
have
end.
Because I got a five in that final hole.
Because we had a four putt to win. I think we three putted.
So when that final hole, I reared back and I cranked it and it went like 300. And you even said, God, it looks like an airplane up there. So
yeah,
I got up there and I wanted to get so I have about 100 yards out. And I was 100 yards out, but I wasn't up fairway sand trap. It was like, I can't win.
You also threw your club a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Club throwing. We got that on tape. Club throwing was part of it.
So, Chuck, I mean, Chuck's a good golfer, but if you're on his team in our golf outing, just be warned, he will drive it into the sand trap no matter what.
Yeah, I just, again, you're right. But you're right. River Club, you know, I shot a 51 on the front nine, and that's just not me.
There's about a 4 or 5 minute video. You can check out some of the round, including how sweaty we were, how sick Cody was. Cody had a Jordan flu game type performance. You can check it all out, 1057fmthefan.com.
I was driving back to Green Bay, and I was sweating until I got by probably Sheboygan, I want to say.
I was drenched.
I was
95.
It was way too hot.
I thought I was going to pass out.
Yeah. Fun, though. Yeah. Sign up, 1057fmthefan.com. We'll talk more on the Brewers and Jabari Parker. Which one stings more for you? And we'll try to reconcile that pain with a $1,000 keyword coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.